You're listening to the History BC Podcast. I'm Jacob New.
I'm Tevin Baker.
And I'm Marcus Pelzer.
On today's episode, we'll be talking about one of the province's biggest moments in recent history, Expo 86.
There's a ton of history surrounding this event that took place 35 years ago, from construction to celebration. This 86 Expo had a monumental impact on Vancouver as a city and British Columbia as a whole.
Many people may even be surprised to know what has stuck around since debuting at this festival so long ago.
Let's talk history about BC. Today's episode, Expo. Expo. It's a short and fun word to say. It's got a pop to it. You probably know what it's short for, though. Exposition. And in this case, World Exposition, or World's Fair, as others may know it by. They are not as big of a deal as they used to be, but large World Fair events, lasting months on end, were a huge draw for cities and countries back in the 20th century. Themes varied, but many expos often showed off future technology or social progress for the time period. In 1978, BC's Minister of Recreation and Conservation had an idea. The City of Vancouver's centennial anniversary was on the horizon, to take place in 1986. What could be a better celebration for the city and province than a World's Fair based on the theme of transportation? After all, Vancouver was one of Canada's most important cities in that regard, with rail and port connections being key to the province and the country. By 1980, the province adopted the proposal for Transpo 86 and was awarded the fair by the International Exhibition Office, or in French, BIE. While the original plan for the fair was modest, developments quickly expanded. The name was changed to Expo 86 by 1981 to reflect the new plan of a special category exposition, one highlighting current and future technology of transportation and communication. Much of what would be constructed would be on the coast of the city, the north side of False Creek. It is incredibly important to know that this event was not universally supported by everyone in Vancouver. With the expected influx of tourists and visitors for Expo, property owners evicted their low-income tenants across the downtown east side. Hundreds of folks were thrown out into the street. Residents of the neighborhood and the city saw Expo as an event that prioritized the needs of tourists rather than Vancouver's very own citizens, especially those who were already vulnerable. The community pushed back against the fair, but their efforts were in vain. After 8 years of preparation, construction, and waiting, Expo 86 opened on May 2nd, 1986.
British Columbia, Canada. The 1986 World Exposition in Vancouver, Canada. A kaleidoscope of experiences. A fun-filled family vacation opportunity without equal. The Canadian adventure you've been waiting for. Come to a city so friendly.
Come on up.
Come to a world so spectacular.
Join us!
3-day passports and information at SeaFirst Bank.
To talk about the exhibitions and displays at Expo, here's Tevin.
Thank you, Jacob. Expo 86's theme was about the movement of people and the movement of ideas, highlighting the major forms of transportation through land, air, and water. Pavilions from 54 nations across the world put on amazing displays of their contributions towards the movement of people throughout our history, be it the past, present, or future. Our neighbor, the United States of America's Pavilion, had an emphasis on their accomplishments in the last 25 years of the space program. Essentially, on display to brag to the world that they were the first to collect Mars soil samples, first to take close-up pictures of Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. Most importantly, the first to put a man on the surface of the moon. At their pavilion, they showcased a full-scale replica of the permanently manned Space Station Command Center and Habitat modules. California, although a part of the U.S., had their very own pavilion. California also focused on their space exploration as well as the addition of science and computer technology. They had the Apollo 14 on display, weighing 10,000 pounds, as well as space telescope to be launched into orbit during the expo. They also had smaller displays showcasing their geothermal energy into electricity conversion process, and how Hollywood was incorporating science within the filming industry. The Soviet Union was celebrating its 25th year of manned spaceflight, also focusing on their exploration. When entering the pavilions, visitors were greeted by a large statue of the first man to enter orbit, Yuri Gagarin. They had a working space station and a laboratory as their main exhibit. They also showcased the Soyuz space capsule to commemorate the spaceflight of 1961. Britain showcased its railway system model and the world's fastest car in 1986, the Thrust 2. They had on display submarines capable of mapping the seafloor and horizontal takeoff and landing jets. While these pavilions focused on the future of movement, some places focused on their contributions of the past. Mexico exhibited the ancient wisdom of the Olmec people and how moving massive stone sculptures more than 10,000 km distances still elude scientists today. Italy had Leonardo da Vinci's aerial screw on display next to the helicopters. Czechoslovakia struck wonder and awe into its visitors through a panorama of ancient and modern art, bringing visitors back to a time when the heavens were first charted and the seas were first navigated. This was the first time any of Czechoslovakia's historic treasures left its country. Spain emphasized how it was the first world superpower and how it dominated the land and seas for over 200 years. They showcased 300-year-old maps of Americas drawn by their explorers, including the first known map of the Vancouver area. Some pavilions focused on the riches of their nations, bringing in ancient artifacts and riches dug up from the past. Peru had the most extensive collection of gold treasures ever shown outside of Peru. Over 300 items, including weapons, a 1,000-year-old mummy, instruments, and other objects. Peru also showcased how they were the second in road construction, only being beat out by the ancient Romans. They created 3,600 kilometers of roads that link from Peru to Chile, Argentina, Colombia, and Ecuador. Egypt's pavilion was dedicated to and named after Ramses II, one of the most influential rulers of ancient Egypt. Reigning from 1290 to 1224 BC, he was the second longest reigning ruler in Egyptian history. Over 80 ancient treasures were on display at the Ramses II Pavilion, including a limestone level, the world's first known water clock, and an array of statues. Not really having much to do with the expo theme, most visitors accepted this pavilion as a chance to see rare 3,000-year-old artifacts. China exhibited its past and present contributions to movement. Modern technologies like communication satellites and rockets, among other things, were on display. Also, an exhibit of the longest and highest highway in the world. They also displayed a model of Zhenghe's flagship, as China leaded in world navigation a century before Christopher Columbus. An excavated 2,000-year-old bronze chariot greeted visitors. It was the most complete and oldest chariot to be excavated to date, as well as a walkthrough model of the Great Wall and how it was an engineering marvel that was also used as a communication device. The Chinese government showcased an ancient Paolu Arch. This arch was later donated to the city of Vancouver, and you can visit it for yourself on Penner Street in Vancouver, Chinatown. There's not a lot still standing from Expo 86, but the Chinese gate that was donated to the city is one of the few left. Another one still on display is the Inukshuk that the Northwest Territories Pavilion had showcased. Today you can find the Inukshuk while walking along English Bay waterfront. These are just two small examples. There are some more that have left more of a legacy than you would imagine. Here's Marcus with more.
And now we're going to be going into the legacy of Expo. So first off, we have BC Place. Now, Erwin Swongard, president of the PNE, proposed a new open stadium to replace Empire Stadium after studies commissioned by the Provisional government to look into the location and the feasibility, BC Premier Bill Bennett announced plans for BC Place in 1980. BC Place was built in 1983 near False Creek. The building has hosted many historic events over the years, like Expo 86 and the opening and closing ceremonies for the 2010 Olympics, just to name a few. The stadium is home to the BC Lions, Vancouver Whitecaps, and the Canada Sevens rugby team, and also the BC Sports Hall of Fame. BC Place was a controversial topic as it was a part of expensive plans for Expo 86. The building cost $126 million. BC Place's roof was inflated by an air pump, making it the largest air-supported roof in the world. While BC Place is still here today, there have been a lot of problems with it. In 1986, a snowstorm almost broke down the whole roof. Early in 2007, a snowstorm caused a ruptured panel on the western side. It took 2 weeks to fix and reinflate the roof, and it was obvious that there was needed change. In 2008, BC Premier Gordon Campbell announced plans to replace the roof with a German retractable system with steel. The plans did not have a good public perception, as the renovation costed $563 million, making it the most expensive renovation in Canada. Now, BC Place's new roof is the biggest of its kind in the world. The stadium reopened on September 30th, 2011, where the BC Lions played the Edmonton Eskimos. The Whitecaps have also soon returned to BC Place.
The next station is Main Street, Science World. Doors will open on the left.
Science World has also had a lot of history in Vancouver. Before it came Science World, the building was built as the Expo Center for Expo 86. After Expo ended, it was then made Science World. The building was built nearly 100 years later for Vancouver's 100th birthday. It took a lot of money to expand upon the Expo Center for a total of $19.1 million to add exhibits and redesign the interior. In 2004, TELUS came to an agreement with Science World to rename it to Science World at TELUS World of Science for $9 million. Science World officially opened on May 6, 1989. Today, Science World attracts people of all ages. Keeping this popular for a long time is not an easy thing to do. It holds exhibitions, demonstrations, films, and even theater sports. Now, those are two of the most popular buildings still around from Expo. It is crazy what one event can do to an entire city.
In our research, we spoke to several people who went to Expo 86, including Lynn Lewis. Here are some thoughts from Lynn about her experience at Expo.
The rides and learning different cultures and traditions, like the singing, the dancing, everything that was involved, right? Like, it was a life-changing experience for me. People living here and born and raised here and all our attitudes and, you know, how we were, like a lot of people say when they come to Canada and visit, how really friendly we are and everything, right? So it was like positivity right from the get-go, more or less. Not just from the workers and the people associated with Expo, but even the customers and the people living in surrounding areas.
We also spoke with Vancouver podcaster Todd Maffin, who had some thoughts about why Expo was such a party during its run and is viewed differently than other large events to happen in our province's history.
I feel like the mid-80s were like the last era of innocence. Where, you know, you could just go out and experience things and not worry about its impact on climate or its impact on the world. You know, as we evolved into the 90s, people got a better awareness of those things. And so it's not to say that the 80s, you know, we were different people, but we certainly had different priorities. And I don't think that the level of overall global awareness was there. So I think it lent to Expo a kind of joy and innocence that I don't think we've seen since.
Thanks again for listening. For the History BC Podcast, I'm Jacob New.
I'm Tevin Baker.
And I'm Marcus Pelzer.
We'll talk again soon.